This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to be with you on Angels Radio Los Angeles, Fox Sports Las Vegas, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports Atlanta, ESPN South Jersey, and 107.5 Alive. Thank you for tuning in or listening to the podcast. Hope you're all having an awesome, wonderful day. I know we're going through it still. We're still living in chaos. We're still, but we're getting there. It's slow. It's a slow process, but we're getting there.
Slow and steady.
Slow and steady, one day at a time. Our guest this week is former Pittsburgh Steelers, New York Jets, and Arizona Cardinals offensive lineman Alan Faneca, one of the best to ever play the game. He was recently inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame earlier this month. And at his induction speech, it was very powerful. He talked about overcoming epilepsy as a kid, not letting that define him. He thanked his wife, and I listened to the speech. You were there, and she was getting teary-eyed, and it was a beautiful tribute to his wife as he, and it made me want to just say thank you, too. How about that?
What was that?
Sometimes things just scream at you. Sometimes things just yell at you, and hey, when you're doing radio, you just go with it. You let it flow. Yeah.
I mean, it was really perfect timing, too. I'm like, all right.
Hey, it's all good, but yeah, that was really cool. But there was, at the very end of Alan's speech, he said he wouldn't have this amazing life if God didn't give him the opportunity to choose football. And I just want to talk about choices God gives us and then the platform he gives us, but the glory should always go back to him. And I was looking through this devotional book I had written the month of March. It's a 2016 Daily Wisdom Book for Men. And I was looking at one of the devotionals I had wrote was about how it's easy for us to take credit for our success and our accomplishments when we do all the hard work and we put in those long hours studying, we're in school, we make those sacrifices along the way to get that diploma, we work hard at our job, put in those overtime shifts and get that promotion, and we soak in all the praise. But what about God? He's the one who, he created us. He blessed us with the gifts that we need to get good grades in school, to work diligently, to achieve all those great things. And then he puts us in that position to be right where we are at this moment. And do we just take the time to thank him today? Do we take the time to give him the credit? Do we take the time to be humble and exalt him? And I just thought it was so beautiful how Alan did that at the end of his speech. And it just goes back to, we all have choices, we all have talent, all have different skills and abilities, and God, he doesn't force us to go into a profession, a career, a ministry, whatever it may be. He gives us that choice. He blesses us with the gifts and gives us that choice, and that's an incumbent upon us to follow through with it.
That's right, and I'm always thankful. Like, I wake up thankful, I go to sleep thankful, and sometimes my attitude isn't thankful, but I am thankful. Like, I always say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything I have. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. And all the glory goes back to you because you're wonderful in every way. And I love that. I think if you're always, you have that attitude of being thankful, you'll always have something to be thankful for. Mm. And if you're always in an attitude of, I don't have enough, or I don't have what I want, you're always going to find something to complain about, find something. Like, you cannot have that mentality of lack, because if you have the lack mentality, you will always lack something. Mm. But if you're in a grateful mindset, you'll always find something to be grateful for. And I believe God will always give you something to be grateful for. And I mean, just today, like, I mean, we're just like, you know, I'm just grateful for the little things. And
that's the key right there. You know, you just said grateful for the little things. I'm big on that because it's those little things we take for granted, right? We think about all the big stuff and we think about all blessings and God, we're always wanting. We're always saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. But what can I give back? What can I do for you? What can I give to those who don't have? And then being in that position where you can even do that, that's a blessing in and of itself to be thankful for. And then when you want to look about the talk about the little things, the fact that, hey, we woke up. Hey, we may be healthy. Hey, we may be able to, you know, we have food on it. Like how many times do you hear me say, and maybe it's, I shouldn't say this to the kids, but like when they're, you make breakfast for them, you get up early, you make breakfast for them for school, you're making them food, you're always making them food. And if they don't finish it, I go like, be thankful, be grateful. You actually have food. I just don't want them to take for granted when so many kids out there, so many people out there don't even have that. And, you know, as we all often go back to International Justice Mission and our partnership with them, and how there's children who don't even get to go to school. Like our kids wake up in the morning complaining, I don't want to go to school. And like, be thankful you're not even, it's hard to even say that to an 8-year-old, but be thankful you're not going, you're not in slavery, you're not working. And it's terrible that there are people in those conditions. But thankful for the little things is a mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a mindset. And we take things for granted because if you're not in it and it doesn't affect you directly, you don't think about it too much. But we should. We really should think about it, because when we do, we look around us and, wow, we have way more than a lot of people. And it's not about the things, but it's
all
about,
of us.
Like
if you're listening to this show,
the freedom,
right?
You know what I mean? It's,
exactly. It's if you're like listening to this show, the ability to even hear this show in this country,
it's the freedom to listen,
us talking freely,
right? And us just being able to worship in freedom. And you know, I always talk about this, but I came from a culture where that's kind of frowned upon. Not just frowned upon; it's like it's almost like not okay to do.
Talk a little bit more about that, because you know, we've grown the station since you grown the to different stations and across the country since probably the last time you mentioned this, and some people may not know you were
Egyptian,
born and raised in Egypt.
So.
What was that like, not being able to worship freely?
It's scary. It's scary. Like I remember clearly when we used to go to church, where we the funny thing about this whole thing is like I never feared going to church. Like I've gone to church many times during the week, not just one time on Sundays. Like I would go Wednesday night, Sunday night, sometimes like I will go Saturday night as well. Like we would go 3-4 times a week, and it was scary because you never know if somebody would come in and like start shooting, you know. And that's a normal thing. It's a normal occurrence in each like that is a normal thing.
How did you do that not have fear? Like,
but that's the thing. That's the thing that people take for granted here. It's when you truly want to worship Jesus, when you truly like you're 100% in, there is no fear in your heart. There is no fear. Once fear gets in, faith comes out. So you have to choose. It's either faith or fear. You got to pick one, but you cannot have both because they don't live together. It's kind of like once you get into a dark room and switch the light on, it's on. The lights are on unless the bulb is burnt.
Right,
but, you know what I mean?
Right,
like the lights are on, so there is no darkness anymore. So that's the same thing. When Christ gets in your heart, lights are on and there is no fear anymore. And you have to just keep going. And I remember like we would worship so hard, the building is shaking. And I remember clearly, I was like, I bet they're going to come now and kill us, you know?
Wow.
But they didn't, you know? And you just like, you just surrender. You just go, hey, if it's my time, it's my time. But you have faith. And that's why.
How old are you at this time? Like this is when you have these thoughts, like
I'll be like 11, 12.
Wow.
Because I moved here when I was 15.
Wow.
And I never had that fear. So that subject of freedom is very, I'm strong on that. Like I'm thankful. Like you cannot take those things for granted because I lived through that. So, it's crazy.
It's getting back to just the little things that we're thankful for, because we overlook that. We overlook that all the time. And Alan Faneca stands up there at his Hall of Fame induction speech and thanks God for giving him the opportunity to choose football, which led to this amazing life. But all of us each day, there's so many things that we don't have to even be on a stage like that to be thankful, to be grateful, to know that we are blessed right where we are. Up next, you're going to hear from Alan Faneca. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores, it's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is JT Romito, and you're listening to the Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com, find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, so you can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. You'll hear a full interview on there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend about the show. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. We wouldn't be here without them, so please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, and the tremendous work they do. The Masters University, our newest sponsor. Love everything about the Masters University and what they stand for. Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. So if you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry get there, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can also help us out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com, under merch. Alan Faneca played 13 seasons in the NFL as a left guard, 10 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2 with the New York Jets, and his final one with the Arizona Cardinals. He made 9 Pro Bowls, was a 6-time first-team All-Pro, and he was recently inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I sat down with Alan last week. Here is that conversation.
First off, congratulations on your induction to the Hall of Fame, man. That speech you gave was incredible. I was just listening to it. There were a lot of parts in there that struck me. I want to hear a little bit about your high school coach, Don Carter, and that moment in when you're pushing the sled, and he said that to the team, Alan's going to be playing on Sundays. What do you remember about that day vividly?
You know, we were, you know, in high school, man, you just get on the 5-man sled and you just push it up and down. It's just like a death march, right? And that's what we were doing. And, you know, people were kind of fading out, kind of hanging out in the back a little bit. And I just kept jumping up to the line and getting to work. And that's what he noticed. And He steps up and he says that Alan here is going to be playing on Sundays. And literally, I mean, Charlie Brown, that's all I heard. Womp, 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 womp. I mean, I heard nothing else after that. I felt like froze. And then the next thing you know, we're going right back out after it. I was floored. I'm this kid in high school and not even thinking about that. I'm trying to make all district. And here's Coach believing in me, saying he's going to be seeing me on Sundays. And it was an amazing moment for me in my life.
Well, that starts with that work ethic, jumping in front of the line, getting back up there. Where did you get that work ethic? How did you develop it?
You know, I get that from my mom and dad. You know, mom and dad, dad's a welder, a sheet metal worker, and my mother's a teacher. I was raised to be a hard worker and not to accept anything and just to work for everything I get. And that's how they raised me, and that's how it stuck. And I just took that into everything I've done, especially into sports. You know, I played basketball as a kid, loved it as a kid. You know, I wasn't the greatest. I was good. I was pretty good. But I was the hustle kid. I mean, you weren't going to get the ball without me. And it's the same way I was in football. And you weren't going to outwork me. And, you know, if you were outworking me, it was a challenge. And let's work together. Let's both get better.
Well, you had to overcome a lot of challenges. And you talked about epilepsy. And it doesn't define you. It's just part of you. When you first realized that you had epilepsy, like what was the thought process? And how did you attack it? And how did you overcome it?
So this is pre-internet, pre-everything, man. You don't know what in the world is going on, right? What is this? So you got to wait for your doctor's appointment to go ask questions. You know, you're writing out all these questions, and I'm going in with my mother. And you get past all the basic life questions of, you know, what does this mean to me? And then you get to the extracurricular, the football, the basketball, the whatever else there was on the secondary list. And he was just like, go do it. And I honestly, I was like, do you know what football is, Doc? And he said, I know what it is. Go chase your dream. And he said that, and I ran. I took it, and I wasn't going to let anything stop me, because I knew at that point in time, I knew I wanted to play big time college ball. That was my dream. And I was not going to let it stop me. And I kind of put my head down and just did it. And I think a lot of people with epilepsy, they let it run their lives a little bit. And that's kind of what I was getting at in my speech, is that we all have it. We have it. But don't let it define us. We still are who we are. And not to let it run our lives. It is part of our lives. And we all have different varying degrees of epilepsy in our life. But we still are who we are regardless.
Tell me about what you're working on now, the campaign with SK Life Science. It's called Steps Toward Zero, to help educate people with epilepsy. What are you doing through that campaign?
You know, we're trying to empower the epilepsy community and try and educate them that Steps Towards Zero is a fight that everybody can go for, regardless of if you're going to get to zero seizures or not. You can still strive to get there. And striving to get there might get you to a better place in your life, not to accept where you are as the norm. Many people with epilepsy, you know, have had it for multiple years, and you may have not re-engaged your doctors and discussed new methods of treatment, new medicines, and just accepted your life as your norm. And we're trying to engage the community as to not accepting the norm, and to get back in to your providers, and to try and find new ways to have a better life. And that was something I could get behind easily. Let's try and engage the community and you know, if we can get some people to get back together and work towards Steps Towards Zero and have a better life, that's something I can get behind.
Well, for everyone listening, you can get more information on the Steps Towards Zero campaign by going to stepstowardszero.com. Alan, as I talk to you and I look at you right now through this Zoom call behind you, there's the pictures of you, this big grizzled offensive lineman, dominant run blocker, all of that. And here you are, clean shaven, lost over 100 pounds, right? Something like why the transformation? What was behind that? Because I'll tell you what, as you stood up there giving your Hall of Fame speech, to me, you look like a quarterback, or you look like a kicker, dare I say, a kicker or somebody like that. What happened?
Don't tell me I look like a kicker. Come on.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, man. You know, I always said when I was done playing, I was going to try and lose weight. I figured that it needed to be 320 pounds the rest of my life. So when I decided to retire, I just put my head down and I just did it. I was like training for another season. And I didn't want to take forever. And I was like, if they can do it on TV, I can find a way to do it. I know enough to make it happen quick. So I lost 70 pounds in 3 months. And then I lost another 40 pounds in the next 4 months. And, you know, I didn't know that it was going to stick, but it has stuck. You know, it's funny when I look at pictures, besides the memories of playing all that, when I just see a standard picture of Big Alan, like in the house or something like that, I don't really relate to that guy. It's really weird. Like, this is the new norm for me. But it's been great. You know, the day I lost 30 pounds, I'm on the floor and I'm playing with Annabelle, my oldest, and I got up and I just stood up. I didn't make, I call it the big guy, old man grunt and like pushed off. I didn't go, ugh. I just stood up and I was like, okay, I like that. We got something good going here.
Man, I'm in a new house and we're building furniture and putting things together for the kids. I know all about that old man grunt getting up.
Yeah.
So for you to maintain that, it becomes a lifestyle. But when you were playing and you were playing at 320, what did you have to do to stay at that weight? Because you wanted to be that big. You wanted to be able to overpower guys, to dominate those guys.
Yeah, so I was always the big kid. You know, I was wearing the Husky pants at elementary school all day long. I've never been this size, anywhere near this size in my life. So, you know, when I got to college and then all of a sudden you start learning about what to eat right, how to eat proper, you know, and as that time goes on and you get in the NFL and you learn a little bit more and you start doing it a little bit more, you know, I'm choosing chicken over burgers and steak and, you know, more vegetables, and I'm starting to eat better. Then I had to start eating more. The only thing I really miss are these shakes that I would make when I was training. I would eat them like 2 to 3 a day. I never added anything to them. I mean, calorie wise, I never added them up. I would just pour things in there, whole milk, peanut butter, you know, gobs of protein. They were like 800 calories a shake. And I was eating like 2 or 3 between meals. And that was the only thing I missed. When I lost the weight, I was like, man, I would like one of those shakes. And I never thought about it. And I added it up. And I was like, man.
You had a lot of success blocking on a dominant offensive line for guys like Jerome Bettis, Willie Parker. You even had Deuce Staley there in Pittsburgh, guy I'm familiar with from Philadelphia. What is the mentality that goes into being that kind of guy, that road grader, that offensive lineman, wanting to own the guy in front of you?
Yeah, you're right. It's a mentality. It's you got to come into the game and just be ready for the long haul. It's not a 2-3 play, 2 drives stint. It's a 60-minute ordeal, and you got to come in with that mindset. And it doesn't start on game day, and it doesn't start in the week of practice. It starts back in training camp. And you know, with Pittsburgh, it's cultivated for decades. So it's like wine. It just keeps getting better with age. And you know, you come in as a rookie, and you know, as an offensive lineman, you know what's expected. And so, you know, that switch clicks a little quicker probably than another team. And you just know what it's supposed to be about.
You played with Big Ben. You played with Brett Favre, right, in New York on the Jets. A lot of different guys. What goes into making – like, I know offensive linemen don't want to let their quarterback down. But when it's somebody like Brett or it's somebody like Big Ben, and they had like they'll get some of those guys will get in your face. What was it like playing for them and that not wanting to let them down kind of feeling?
Well, nobody wants to be the lineman that gives up the sack, right? Or the busted play, and you know the running back gets killed. You know, we're all about pride on the offensive line, and we carry ourselves that way. You know, I think I took the mentality and always tried to teach it to the O line. You know, people might think less of us, you know, outside of the locker room and as far as fans. But nobody does anything without us, right? The quarterbacks, the running backs, and in Pittsburgh, even the defense. We maintain the ball. We kill the clock out, man. When I was there in Pittsburgh, the defense was over there on the sidelines cheering and hooting us on because they were not on the field and they were loving it. And they knew we were going to score and then they were going to come out and just it was going to be Pass City, and they were just going to rush the quarterback. So they were our biggest fans on the sideline. So, you know, as an offensive lineman and me personally, you know, I carry it on my shoulders. You know, you don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that makes a difference, not a guy that is the Achilles heel.
Final question for you, Alan. I mentioned how much I loved your Hall of Fame speech. The way you closed that out, as a man of faith, I really appreciated it. And you said, I wouldn't have this amazing life if God didn't give me the opportunity to choose football. You and I know it's a blessing, and it's a tremendous blessing that you were given the opportunity and the platform and the skills and the talent. Just tell me a little bit about what inspired you to say that in your faith.
You know, I was looking for a way originally. You know, you're trying to how do you walk off, right? How do you end this massive speech that you just, you know, kind of summed up your life and career? And it just seemed the perfect way, you know, because really it all comes down to, like you just said, these things that I had nothing to do with but were given to me, and I just wanted to say thank you.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate your time and congratulations again. Thank you so much. And love what you're doing as far as the Steps Toward Zero program. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Alan Faneca. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and a Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desires to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hairy Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with two farm-fresh eggs, cheese, choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes mornings simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz and Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.